Next element is a critical question, and what is the juncture or when to begin searching for candidates? So we need to understand that basically there are a multitude of approaches which are available. Begin recruiting when an opening occurs. This probably would be a more conventional method or a conventional way of looking at things. Continuous search, this is a dynamic process. So here the recruitment people of a specific organization do not wait for people or positions to open up. They begin their search, or probably it's an ongoing process. So whenever vacancies come, they already have positions so that they can fill out those positions. Begin before an opening occurs. So probably here you can use some sort of forecasting wherein foresight is required, and you understand that there might be a probability of some position opening, like in case of mergers, in case of acquisitions, in case of a new process which is forecasted to come in after, let's say, a period of 6 months. So in this particular case, you can begin before an opening occurs. So these are the three important, you can say, places where, or methods where you can begin searching for candidates. Now that we've understood how or where, when to, you know, begin searching, now where to look for candidates is logically sequenced here. So there are three subcategories within the where element. Like they were in the when element, here there are three subcategories in the where element. The first is internal versus external. In fact, this point has been discussed in detail in several previous slides. Inside or outside the industry? So do we find experts from within the same industry, or for a particular job position, is there a presence of experts outside the industry? So what is it that we need to look at? And of course, geographic focus. So if the job is, let us say, in Mumbai, do we focus only on candidates from Mumbai, or do we ask for people who are probably in nearby cities like Pune, nearby cities like Ahmedabad, nearby cities like Nasik or Aurangabad? So what is the exact focus? How do we exactly go about it? So these are three ways in which the where element is addressed or answered. The eighth element is who does the recruiting. Internally, who is responsible for recruiting? So in the where element, we saw either the recruitment can be done through an internal source or an external source. We are basically expanding upon this particular point. If it's internal, generalists do most of the recruiting, because the general positions are filled by the generalists in the recruitment and the staffing department. Separate sourcing and recruiting efforts within a centralized recruiting function. So here, if it is a particular niche position, probably these people could help. Also, you can involve the line managers to do most of the recruiting. If it's a production function, if it's an urgency, line managers can also double up as recruitment people. If it's utilizing the external recruiters, there are many methods that we have discussed. Utilize external recruiting agencies, mostly at very top or bottom positions. So if it is a requirement which is requiring about 200 to 300 entry level personnel in a company, probably best place you could go to is a recruitment agency. Similarly, if it is a top position like executives or the top members of management, probably an expert management consultant would be able to help the company. Primarily utilize external recruitment agencies for these particular jobs. Now that we have seen whether to move out externally or to conduct a search through internal sources, now what are the sourcing tools that can be used is another element of those 12 elements. Some of the possible sourcing focus areas, they include traditional media. These can include the print media like the newspaper, print media like magazines, mediums like the television and radio. We also have sourcing using several events, like we discussed in a previous chapter. Times Jobs creates job fairs. Various staffing agencies like Adecco or people Adecco or Mafoy, Randstad or Kelly Services, they arrange several walk-ins in their consultancies. So this is sourcing using the job events or events. Traditional internet sourcing. So traditional internet sourcing would include people posting on the job, you know, on their websites or through their intranets or through paid job portals like Naukri, paid job portals like Monster or Times Jobs. The non-traditional ones include the presence of social media marketing sites or social media sites like Facebook or business sites like LinkedIn. Employment branding, here you can probably do a word of mouth or a referral, and acquiring intact teams and a large amount of talent through mergers and acquisitions. So when two companies merge, they automatically work as a team, they automatically, you know, create one big pool of employees. Acquisitions, the acquired company's employees automatically are recruited on your on board your organization, and there is no other need for recruitment. So these are various primary sourcing tools that are required for recruitment. Let's move on. The 10th point here, or the 10th element of the recruitment strategies, is what skills should you prioritize when selecting of the candidates. Those target skills or competencies could include hiring brains or intelligence. So you can hire people who are of a high caliber, who are technically very sound, who have good decision making skills. Selecting based on technical skills required for this job. So certain positions in IT, they require a lot of technical skills, like the knowledge of various computing languages, the knowledge of testing practices, the knowledge of people management. So these kind of things can be filled by this particular attribute. Selecting primarily based on pre-identified company-wide competency needs. So if the company or the is in an industry where there are certain skills required, like let us say if the company is in a BPO or a KPO kind of a scenario, along with the process knowledge, people also at times need to understand the culture of a different country. Like let us say Wipro BPO is a prime example. Wipro BPO has processes majorly from the US and UK as well as Australia. So some of the competencies required here would be knowledge of that particular culture. Like if the process is UK based, then you would need to know the UK culture. In Wipro, there are many airline processes like Air Canada. You've got Delta Airlines, which is a prominent US airlines. So in that case, people would need to know the geography of US. They would need to know some parts of the culture, some portions of the culture. They would also need to know, have a good understanding of the American accent. The reason is they would need to be understood by the customer as well as understand what the customers are saying. So company-wide competency needs, you know, are pre-identified in such cases. Selecting primarily based on the candidate's contacts and network. So some places, some industries select people who can refer or get more people, okay, and through their contacts and network. And selecting primarily based on the cultural fit. So if it's a manufacturing industry, they would prefer people who come with a manufacturing experience, so that there is a specific you know, mindset or culture there. So if a person comes from another industry, although has certification in manufacturing or knowledge, might be a cultural misfit. So these are specific points or a list of the target skills or the competencies which should be included when you're prioritizing when selecting candidates, which is a part of the 10th point of the 12 elements of recruitment strategies. The 11th element is a prime question, which is how to assess the candidates. It relates to analyzing and assessing of the candidates so that we start with the selection process, which is in turn nothing but creating filters and choosing the right amount of people in the company. The common choices here include things like the interviews, which is pretty common. Interviews can be on the basis, as we've seen in the last chapter, interviews can be basis of aptitude, they can be basis of certain tests administered, both written and verbal, and other things. Skill tests, so if a person has applied as a team manager, probably they might be subjected to a case study related on how a manager enhances the organization. Grades or academic performance, so if it is a job which requires a high level of aptitude, then you can also look at the academic performance. Job simulations, here similar to the case studies, people would be subjected to a job simulation. Let us say if the person is either a fitter or an electrician, probably they would be asked to simulate certain elements of the job. Hire more than you need and intentionally wash out the poor performers. So this is another way or a common choice wherein you create a large pool of people and then you start dwindling the numbers or removing the poor performers. Let's move on now to the last of the 12 elements, which is the primary sales approach. These often include compensation. So if you are selling the job to a particular candidate, if you are selling your organization to a particular candidate, the first important thing that can be done is provide the promise or commit to a higher compensation than what they were getting or than what they are expecting. Benefits, certain benefits related to the job, like the leave, travel allowance, or HRA or DA, and other things. An excellent culture and values. So the culture that your company possesses, if you have an excellent culture, this also becomes a point of sale. Certain challenges associated with the job. So people primarily prefer jobs which have a certain challenge, which are slightly beyond their capabilities, where they feel challenged and where there's little element of boredom or apathy. So they want problem solving to be a part of their job. They want challenges to be a part of their job. Also, growth and learning opportunities. So each person aspires to grow, aspires to gain knowledge, and aspires to learn new things when they are part of an organization. And hence, these also become a part of the sales strategy. The firm's employment brand and image. Companies, as we've mentioned previously, like Microsoft or Infosys or Wipro, even for that matter, in the field of education, Wellinker Institute, all these organizations and institutes have an employment brand and image. So people get attracted. So the recruitment professional should leverage or should utilize these points also as points for sale. Well, now we're going to discuss with the help of this particular diagram the different types of recruitment models. Well, we need to understand that different companies have different hiring needs. So the recruitment needs of each organization varies from situation to situation, from time to time. So depending on the level of engagement, depending on the level of exclusivity, depending on the level of urgency, depending upon the long-term prospects and other factors, many different recruitment models are followed in the market. Some of these are enlisted here, the most important ones, of course. And in detail, we are going to discuss with the help of diagrams about each in the next few slides. So what are these? First is the contingency hiring. We also have retained search, which is another type of recruitment model. We have a recruitment model which caters to exclusive requirements. We have a recruitment process outsourcing, or RPOs as they are known. We also have the concept or the model of outplacement. And finally, we will discuss the model of executive search. So let us now move on to the next slide, where we shall discuss the first model of recruitment, the most prevalent one, that is of the contingency hiring. In this, whenever a company comes across any requirement, it gives it to many consultants at the same time and asks all of them to send the resumes of the prospective candidates. So this is an important point to be remembered. As the word goes, contingency, that means probably the position needs to be filled on an emergency basis. Probably a new process has come into the organization and needs immediate work, or probably an existing employee due to some reason has vacated a position which needs to be filled so that work resumes. In this, only the consultant whose candidate is offered the position or probably gets selected gets money from the company. So here the recruiters don't get any assured and fixed salary. Thus, the other recruitment consultancies do not get paid for whatever groundwork they do. Hence, their revenue depends entirely on whether they can make offers or not. As the risk factor is high here, the consultants charge more percentage for such type of recruitment. Generally, company pays in terms of a specific percentage of the total cost to company of the candidate. This is the most prevalent way of recruitments. So what we have done here is we have discussed about the contingency type of hiring. The next type, that is the retained search, will be discussed here. A recruitment consultant here in this particular type of model works exclusively for a specific requirement, and the payment is divided into two parts. He or she is paid a fixed amount by the company for the search activity. This particular fee or charge is called as a retainer fee. Other than if he or she makes offers, he or she gets more money. For recruitment of senior executives like CEO or the sales head or any senior manager, a very focused approach is required. So this particular type of method is focused in this context as well. Well, the next type of recruitment model is that of the exclusive requirements. So with the help of this diagram here, we shall discuss it. Enlisted are some of the points which are the key elements of this kind of a model. Sometimes companies give some requirements exclusively to recruiters. So they do not look into these particular requirements. These are directly sent to the recruiters. Here the recruiters assure the client to close the position within a specified date. If they can't close the position by that time, they need to either close the position with lesser commission or bear some other penalty. All the conditions are clearly decided before entering into a particular contract. Here the percentage of commission is less than the contingency hiring because there is no competition. So here let us take an example. Let us say if Kelly Services is the only recruiter that is considered by let us say Emphasis as a BPO. In this particular condition or in this particular case, Kelly will not have any competition because Emphasis has only provided this requirement exclusively to Kelly Services. The next type of model is the RPO, or the recruitment process outsourcing unit or model. The RPO model is gaining a lot of prominence. It is gaining a lot of popularity in recent times. Well, let us understand what this particular model is. Your company outsources the entire recruitment process to another consultant or another recruitment agency. Some people from the consultant's side sit in the company itself and manage the whole process by themselves. So they are not employees of the company, but they are dedicatedly working towards the recruitment requirements of the company. The sources can either sit in the client place or in their own office. Here the RPO partner is responsible for closing all the requirements. They take care of the whole recruitment process, right from elements like sourcing, scheduling of various interviews, administering of various tests during the interviews, and the offer letter or the offer to joining. The benefit for the company is that they don't have to manage their own recruitment team, which definitely reduces the costs. But on the other hand, the risk is high, because if the consultants do not understand the company culture and the hiring plans properly, it can get extremely disastrous. So companies should be careful while choosing the recruitment partners, since we are talking about high scale and longer duration engagement in this particular case. So this was an extensive discussion about the working of an RPO, or how the RPO model functions. The next two models that were a part of the first diagram are outplacement and executive search. Let us first cover what is outplacement. Well, in this model, outplacement is a company, you know, if it has come into prominence during the recession period. Here, if a company wants to lay off some employees to cut costs, they can hire a consultant to place those employees in other companies. The recruitment cost is ideally borne by the current employer. Outplacement is not too popular, at least in India, it is not a very popular concept. The next model is that of the executive search. Executive search teams only focus, they have a specific focus in that they only focus on the senior levels of management in a company, like probably the CEO, the CTO, the president, the sales head, and similar kinds of requirements. The method for sourcing for such positions are quite different from the junior level requirements. Here the number of potential candidates are less, and they don't prefer to show their resume on the portals. So imagine an important position like a CEO, if they send their jobs, you know, if they require a change in the jobs, and if they post it on a job portal, what kind of impact it will have if the news leaks? There will be massive losses for the organization. So it's done in quite a confidential manner and handled in a very sensitive fashion. So headhunting, searching in networking sites and professional networks help a lot. Ideally, a lot of these positions, there are passive applicants. They need to be motivated, they need to be shown incentive to create a changeover. For such requirements, as you know, these jobs are extremely high paying. They are the highest paid in the corporate world. So definitely the commission is also much higher than the conventional, you can say, recruitments. The executive search teams do retained search activity also. So they probably are a part of the company. They are retained employees. They are exclusively, you know, working on such kind of requirements. Well, now, as a part of different types of recruitment models, other than the above models, other than the models that we have seen in the above slides or the previous slides, the recruitment models can also be divided into two broad categories or two broad types, namely the permanent staffing and the temporary staffing. In the permanent staffing, after the recruitment, the candidate stays in the company payrolls as a permanent employee. So the permanency of the employee is the most important element in permanent staffing. They are ideally on the payrolls of the company. They are not on a contract or they are not on a temporary basis. In temp staffing, in case of this particular type, it is also known as a contract type of a staffing. The candidate remains in the payroll of the consultant and works with the company for a limited time period. So the salary which is paid, it is paid through the consultant. So the company does not directly pay the employee. It pays the consultant, who in turn pays the employee. Companies generally prefer this model if the project is small or uncertain. So the risk element here is curtailed. The risk element here is limited, because if it's a small project of 3 months, then there would not be a need to involve an employee who would otherwise, you know, post the 3 months, be a redundancy to the organization. So this model is gaining good popularity nowadays, because in today's troubled times, there are the processes which might be uncertain. They might be temporary types, you know, 6 months process or a year's process. So it does not make sense to have a permanent employee there. Both permanent and temporary staffing can be applied to all the above recruitment, as in we have seen many models like outplacement, executive search, we have seen recruitment process outsourcing, we have seen exclusive requirements, we have seen retained search and contingency hiring. So all these particular models, we can apply permanent and temporary type of staffing. Well, now that we have seen the various recruitment models that help an organization with its recruitment efforts, let us look at how we go about developing metrics for the recruitment success. We need to understand that employee recruiting metrics and economics can be confusing. The right knowledge of the recruitment processes, the right knowledge of how recruitment is done, can be very successful or can create success for the recruitment process. But it is also, we need to understand, time consuming, and it also consumes a lot of financial resources. Hence, advertising is expensive, online postings can be a time drain, and headhunters might just drain your bank account. So it's extremely critical that we develop certain metrics so that these kind of things are kept at bay, and the recruitment process becomes as inexpensive as possible. So in the future, in the further slides, we shall look at what are those specific metrics that we are going to discuss. A prime question that needs to be asked in this particular context of developing metrics for recruitment success is how to get the best return on investment for the recruitment activities. This slide, basically we are going to continue from the previous slide, wherein we saw the kind of problems that might be associated with the recruitment process, that is draining of the time and the money. So an important metric here, the first key metric, is the cost per hire. So what is the kind or the underlying cost that is involved when you are filling a particular position? The other important metric, the second metric, is the time to fill. Time to fill is nothing but the required amount of time to fill a particular position. So these two metrics require more discussion. So what we are going to do is we are going to devote more slides. So from the next slide, we shall start discussion on the cost per hire, or the CPH, which is the first metric in discussion.